At Highland, we're all about celebrating little wins and little ways to innovate digital processes. There's no customer pain point too small for us to help with. Maybe that's why more than half of the Fortune 100 looks to Highland to connect their content and data, improve processes, and turn little efficiencies into big wins for their customers and clients. Highland, intelligent content solutions for innovators everywhere at highland.com.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
IT systems worldwide hit by an outage. Today, Jess Kelly is with me, our technology correspondent. Jess, can you talk me through maybe a little bit of the chronology and the stuff that happened as a consequence of this?
Okay, so it started around midnight Irish time when an update to a third-party provider called CrowdStrike, they pushed out an update, and it turns out that there was a bit of a snafu, for want of a better term, within that update. And bit by bit, as different parts of the world woke up, they were faced with what's called the blue screen of death, which sounds super dramatic. But it's, if you've ever updated your PC and you've interrupted the update and you see that blue screen, that's what it is. So as we were waking up here in Ireland, Sky News, for example, was off air. There was just the white screen saying, "We apologise for the interruption. We'll be back with you soon."
Jess, I was glued to Sky News. Not when it was just a white screen, that would be a bit boring. But when they came back on air, yeah. I know now this was a bit kind of inside baseball-y, but they had one camera position, they had no background graphics, and they just had their phones and pieces of paper with notes written on them. It was really old. Well, sorry, take away the phones. It was quite old fashioned. They did a great job, but
they
just kind of was kind of mesmerized by this.
It's incredible. And there's nothing like a good crisis, to be fair. And I do think the broadcasting teams, because it wasn't just Sky, there were news outlets around the world that were impacted. And as you say, like anyone who's been in a TV studio, a lot of the cameras now are operated by their robotics. Like essentially there's somebody sitting in a gallery box and they're programmed and they say move camera three in and whatever. As you said, the graphics wouldn't work, the audio cues weren't working. So many people were pushed to utilize services like they would back in the day. But of course, there were some services that just couldn't function.
Okay, like what?
Well, in America, for example, the emergency response teams, so those responding to 999 or 911 calls, they couldn't track the location of ambulances, fire brigades, police cars and so on. That just couldn't function. People who were trying to pay for their shopping in Woolworths in Australia, they couldn't do it with a card because the payment system was all through this digitized system.
Okay.
We had so many different examples. Think of the poor gamers. Do you remember I was talking about my love of esports the other day?
Maybe they'd get off their backsides and do actual sports.
People couldn't play their Xbox at 2 o'clock this morning. That's how disruptive this has
right.
been. So what I have found really interesting from a tech point of view is just how many services, like only one domino needs to drop.
Yeah.
For all of this implication to happen. You know, airports, in Belfast Airport, they had a huge big whiteboard like you'd see in your show Moronga, and they had the details of the flights written with a whiteboard marker. In India, we had people on X posting a boarding pass, right? A blank boarding pass.
I saw this, yeah.
Written with Biro. So
yeah.
Kieran Cuddihy 3A or whatever the details are. We've heard other instances of report of airports around the world where they simply couldn't scan boarding passes. So they were doing the check of your passport and that was the height of it. So there's a whole host of implications that I don't think we've even realized. Like, did you try to buy something online today and the payment didn't go through, for example? That could be why. A lot of processes behind the scenes from service providers that utilize CrowdStrike just went down.
And is it all up and running again now?
Kind of ish. So in the last few minutes, as I sat in this very seat, Ryanair have updated saying that online check-in is now available again. But
they had to cancel a few flights.
They had to cancel a few flights as well. It's also worth noting that if you're flying to Spain or Amsterdam or the United States, brace yourself for either delays or cancelled flights, because a hell of a lot of flights in the US were grounded entirely.
I don't know, this is radio, so I appreciate it, but there was an amazing image of one of those radar tracking apps from
Flight Radar,
the US,
yeah.
And it was like kind of 9/11. There was just the whole country covered in these little yellow dots. And then as soon as midnight hit Irish time, they all just disappeared. Yeah. They just grounded flights.
Yeah, entirely. But again, we are so reliant on these technological services. And that's why when I harp on about things about cybersecurity and all the rest, this is why, thankfully, and just again to reiterate, this was not a hack. It wasn't a cyber attack. It was an update that unfortunately impacted millions of people around the world. But I think we can count ourselves lucky that it wasn't a hack or an attack.
Well, Paul Delahunty is with us as well, is the Chief Information Security Officer at Strive, to talk a little bit about, I guess, how companies and others might make themselves resilient to this type of activity, this type of occurrence. Paul, you're welcome to the show. I think a lot of people kind of maybe were struck at just how small a thing can have such a big impact.
Yes, it's quite amazing. And I spent most of the afternoon watching the news coming through with a big bowl of popcorn in front of me, because it's one of those days we look back on and go, wow, what were you doing that day? But I think Jeff hit the nail on the head there using the imagery of the domino effect. And I think this brings home to everyone just how reliant we all are on just a handful of companies. And when something goes wrong, it affects almost everything, because, of course, everything's connected now. You know, your television is connected to your fridge, is connected to your car, this Internet of Things. It's all interconnected now. And the more that goes down that journey to connecting everything that moves, the more reliant we are.
Yeah, I think maybe what other people were wondering, and this is people like me kind of who don't understand the technology, we wonder why there's not kind of trip switches, as it were, in the system. Why, when one part of it goes down, do those trip switches not flick and everything else is safe?
Well, now that's one of the things that organizations should be doing themselves anyway, okay? Because I think that the problem is when we think of a Microsoft or even like CrowdStrike, you know, somebody who isn't in cybersecurity mightn't really know that company very well. But if you are, they're a big, big company and very reputable, very well known. But the problem is sometimes we kind of go, you know, oh, well, all our stuff is up in the cloud. It's there. It's in Azure. It's in Microsoft. It's in AWS, Google, wherever. We go, it's fine. It's over there. And we don't think about it. But organizations themselves need to actually think about, well, hold on a second. What if something goes wrong there? What is my backup plan? Mm. What happens when we get, you know, punched in the face? What do we do then? Do we have plans in place? And crucially, have we tested those plans? Because the number of organizations I go into and see that, one, they don't have a plan, but two, if they do, it's sitting on a shelf with an inch worth of dust in it because it hasn't been opened up in 10 years, you know.
I'm also thinking of, you know, every hospital in the country, if you go into it, Paul, you'll find somewhere emergency electricity generators so that when the power goes, the machines in ICU don't go and the people attached to those machines don't go anywhere either, much more importantly. So they've got that backup. I mean, I would have imagined the likes of banks today impacted by this, that they would have a kind of an IT version of that backup.
Yeah, and you know what, some of them do and some of them have for some systems. But it's you know, when something like today happens and it affects something as ubiquitous as say, Microsoft, it's very difficult to really kind of get away from that because it's everywhere and you don't have a whole lot of choices other than to use them. So, you know, ideally, yeah, you would have backups and you would have other systems and other companies you can rely on. Sometimes that's not always available, but certainly what I would take from today is this is a wake-up call for all organizations out there to ask themselves, look, what is our plan if something goes wrong? And check out what are our key systems? How do we stay resilient? And it is kind of a little bit ironic. I know we're talking about DORA, but it is a bit ironic that the Digital Operational Resilience Act is coming into effect in 6 months' time from yesterday, and now we have a resilience problem across the world.
So that Resilience Act, when it comes into force, that will change some of this, will it?
Well, it's an act, you know. What it means is there'll be, you know, repercussions there for organizations, in particular with DORA, it's towards financial and critical ICT systems, which, you know, this is what happened today, it's a critical ICT
okay.
system, that if they don't put the proper resilience in place, you know, there are repercussions there that can be brought.
Jess, I mean, are there lessons to be learned for individuals today, or is this something just that business has to deal with?
I think it's a bit of both. Like, I think there was definitely an air of caution this morning when people were trying to figure out, you know, will my Apple Pay work? And if not, where is my bank card? And, you know, I don't have my Leap card topped up. So how do I do that? I think it gave people pause to think, well, hang on a second. If I can't do it the digital way, how do I do it? I messaged one of our editors this morning going, you know, is our Teams working? Because we operate using Microsoft Teams. We, like, our entire network is reliant on the operation of that. Now, thankfully, we were all able to work the entire day. But, you know, it is good to know that there is a contingency plan if and when things fail, because we have to remember, if you are using a digital device that relies on electricity or the internet, not only can it go down, but it can get hacked, attacked, compromised in some way. So you always have to have a plan B and then a plan C as well.
On that uplifting note, we're going to talk about the weather next. Jess Kelly, News Talk's technology correspondent, Paul Delahunty, Chief Information Security Officer at Strive. Thank you both very much.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.